Actually, I want to put it out to the audience again that if anybody wants to put in the time to create a wiki for us, it'd be kind of nice for us to reference. What's up, Internet? You're listening to the Making Geeks Podcast, a podcast for makers, families, and geeks. And we have a special episode for you today. We have a special guest, Mr. AJ Huff.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Good, man. Good to have you. So what brings you here, Mr. Huff?
I believe you invited me.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So a little bit better introduction than we actually just supplied right here. AJ is a maker and Kickstarter inventor extraordinaire. Several different products that you've kind of brought to light over the years, including one that you'll be talking about later today, I believe, right? Before we get into all that, we usually do our usual once around of what you've been up to this week. So what you guys been up to?
I have been doing some Photoshop work and Illustrator work for some little products I might create for the local town that I live in. Like every year for the last couple years, I've been doing like a short run of like ornaments or just kind of seasonal kind of crafty sort of stuff that I can make some quick little cash on, and just kind of going along with that same sort of train of thought. Just it's the one time a year I get the most use out of my laser machines and that sort of stuff. And it gets me, forces me to be a little bit creative and try some stuff I don't normally get to try. So, and I'm trying to have an earlier start on it this year than I normally do. Usually I only have like a month and a half or something, but I'm trying to get a better lead on it to have a little bit more of a variety of offerings. And especially since I just finished my my website redesign, I'm kind of still in that mode. So I even might launch a separate little website just to have a different platform for these things, because I typically just list them on my Geeksmithing page, which is kind of random, just random craftsy stuff that has no real bearing to be there. And it's never really hampered me in the past, but I'm sure some people look at it and be like, "What? I don't know. This doesn't seem right." Just little oddities. Last year, I did a design of an ornament based on a camper that I own, which is it's called a Trail Manor, which I've discussed a couple of times. It's sort of like if a transformer could be a camper, it would be this design, because it collapses down really small, and then using the magic of parallel lines and parallelograms, it basically just unfolds itself and gets like triple the length, and it has like sleeps six, and has like full bathroom and shower, and a couple of these guys even stayed in it as our guest house essentially. Mm-hmm. When they came and crashed here. And so I made some little ornaments of those last year, and I probably made, I don't know, I wouldn't say like 30. And I think I could get even more this year if I did some 3D. I want to do like a 3D modeled version instead of a laser cut flat one. I had some different elements that gave it some depth before, but I want to do like a full 3D rendering and 3D print it, and possibly even have one that you're able to collapse and expand. I thought that'd be kind of cool. And I've got a couple other Nintendo ornaments as well. So just stretching the legs in the old design department, as it were. How about you, Donovan? Thanks.
I have been crazy busy. I am prepping to go to Canada early Saturday morning. Flying up to Vancouver at like 3. Well, I don't fly out at 3 a.m. I fly out at 6. But apparently when you travel international, you have to be at the airport super early because customs and documentations and testing and all kind of stuff. So I've been packing and doing all my stuff for that. In conjunction, Tyson, who I work with at SketchUp, just celebrated his 15-year anniversary with the company. And so Aaron and I had this idea of making him saber hilts as kind of like a commemoration for 15 years, because I think SketchUp gave him like a pin? I don't know, something lame, like companies do. It's like, hey, you gave us 15 years of your life. Here's a Starbucks card or just something like that. And so Aaron and I were talking. It was like, we should make him lightsaber hilts to commemorate 15 years. And Tyson really loves Borderlands. So we're like, hey, let's make Borderlands style lightsabers. And so he picked Malawan. I hope Tyson isn't listening right now. This is totally going to ruin the surprise. Anyway, I'm banking on him not listening to this podcast. But
that's just rude. That's just rude, Tyson.
But Aaron decided to make Malawan, which is very, very like vibrant colors, orange and blue and white. And I decided to make Jacobs, who's, I think, Tyson's favorite gun manufacturer in the game. And so I got this scrap piece of walnut that I've literally taken like random brass fittings and pieces and things like that and inlaid maple strips and whatnot to try and make it look like a gun barrel hilt at the end, kind of like, you know, Jacob's guns, but then add the brass, and I'm going to add like copper inlays and stuff like that. It's not done yet, but it's going to be a Borderlands style lightsaber that I'm going to fly up to Vancouver and deliver to him to say, hey, celebrate 15 years. And I'm making a video out of it, of course. And I, since it's Borderlands, I went back and watched my Borderlands videos that I did in the past, like the cows. I had so much fun doing that video, even though it didn't perform. But I was like, man, what could I do this time? I don't want to do the, like the same animation Marcus intro like I did in the past. And so I'm like, well, since it's Borderlands, I'll do first person of me, of different shots of me like making this thing. And so I 3D printed this mount that I hold in my mouth that I like stretch my arms out in front as I'm like walking around and then pause for a little bit, because I did a HUD overlay in Photoshop that I'm going to put on the video, so it has like pickup and use and stuff like that, just like in the game. I was like, because I want to make it look like it's from the game. So I've been having a blast.
Are there any like cell shader After Effects plugins you can like pull on?
So I've looked at like different color grades and things like that. Mm-hmm. And there are options to kind of make it look cel shaded, but it's janky. It looks super terrible. Like it's like super contrast, super saturation, and you like crank up the detail on it. It kind of looks cel shaded, but it just completely destroys the footage. I'm like, sure. Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm gonna have some kind of color grade on it just to make it a little bit more vibrant than my flat, you know, picture profile.
Sounds cool.
It's gonna be fun. Yeah, I'm gonna work on that. I'm gonna finish that while I'm up in Canada and release it. I put out a short today that was 5 seconds long, and it's sitting at 12,000 views right now. I have no idea. I'm just like, shorts, it's terrible. It's terrible, but shorts are where it's at right now.
Well, look, hopefully it'll be a better way to capitalize on it, because I think YouTube just released a notice that they found a way to monetize that better.
Shorts.
I don't know the formula they're going to use, but at least it looks like they're going to be making an effort to do so, which is nice.
I signed up for that, so we'll see. I'll let you know if I get anything.
You know, Donovan, I'm really glad you don't try to do anything complex in your videos and your builds.
Yeah. Just
keep it simple, right?
This is how I have fun. Like, I love creating content like this, even if nobody watches it, which lately has been the case a lot, I still have a blast doing it, and it's still there forever, you know, for people to go back. But the other thing that has been going on is I think I've talked about these before, the dice, my maker dice, my idea dice that I've been working on for a few months now. There's the basic premise is they're dice to give people creative ideas on projects. So there's material, a location, and a source of inspiration on these dice that I've designed. And I'm working with somebody to actually make like full-fledged actual D&D dice, kind of like that. And it's been a fun project that I've been working on for a couple months. But this week, Laura Kampf and Simone Gertz just released a video. Yeah. Of idea dice that they have turned into a project, and I was like, I watched that and I was like, my heart is sank. And I'm like, somebody else had the exact same, like, three dice, exact same idea. Now, granted, theirs are different. Theirs are, like, super big, super small. Like, the things on the dice are different. But the idea for the dice and the purpose for the dice are almost the exact same. So I was like, I put a story up on Instagram. It's like, hey, for those of you that have been following this project, it's not going to happen anymore because Laura and Simone just did it. And if I put out a video, everybody's going to think I was just trying to steal from them, which I'm not. Like, I had no idea they were doing that, and I've been working on this for months. But I was like, oh shoot, like I don't want to be that guy that puts out a video like of people thinking that I'm stealing an idea from those two. But after I put out that story, holy cow, like I got so many messages from so many people. It was insane. My phone just kept ringing. I have never gotten such a response from anything I've ever posted on Instagram. But for some odd reason, that struck a chord with a lot of people, apparently, telling me, don't do it.
So I'm doing something similar that you are, Wes. My wife and I are getting ready for a vendor event on Saturday. We've been working with a lot of acrylic and stuff lately for things that we're doing. And we're kind of gearing up for that. And especially for the holidays, we're trying to get a head start on some of the stuff coming up for Christmas. Some Halloween things, but probably more geared towards Christmas. Trying to find some material sponsors with all the acrylic that we're working with. And we're trying to find some two-toned acrylic that only a couple of companies make. One is Enduramark. I'm testing some of their products right now. And the other one, I can't remember the name of the company. And also,
have you tried reaching out to Craft Closet?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, Craft Closet. Look them up. Reach out to them. Right. They're a big supplier of like acrylic materials for laser cutters and things like that.
There's a couple that come to my feed. Houston Acrylics is another one that I've become familiar with. But I haven't tested their stuff yet. I have a sponsor video coming up as soon as I get their material. I have a sponsor for tumblers. So I'm getting a bunch of different types of tumblers to engrave, and we'll see how that goes too. So that is about it on my end. So back to the man of the hour, Mr. Huff. So what you been up to lately? Give us a rundown.
So a couple things. For those of you that don't know, I have a Kickstarter running right now, and it's a carabiner just like you would keep your keys on, which we'll probably talk about later. But one of the big things that people have been asking me for is the option of a pry bar as a add-on item that they can buy with their carabiner. And in the past, I've done a different Kickstarter for a customizable pry bar. But for this one, I've been working on designing and prototyping just a standardized, fairly cheap little, you know, keychain pry bar. That's taken a couple of my last couple days. I made about 15 out of brass and sent those off to my Patreons for testing. And then I just today received a brand new laser from Donovan's favorite company, Omtech. Though I purchased mine.
you got Donovan's laser.
Yeah. I did get the chiller half a week before the actual laser too, but
yeah. Which model did you get?
I got the 100-watt. That's like, I don't remember the work area. I got a big one.
Autofocus, manual focus.
Autofocus.
Nice. Wow, you got the big one.
Yeah. That's cool. I seriously considered the 150-watt, but there was a pretty big price difference between the 100-watt and the 150-watt.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm super excited to get that up and running. Once upon a time, I had a K40 laser, and I hated it. It first got to me with a broken tube, and somebody gave me their old used tube to replace it, and I think that tube was kind of worn out and underpowered. So I'm glad to upgrade.
Sounds like a significant one.
Yep.
Have you had a chance to put it through its paces yet?
No, so I just got it up onto a little knee-high table for it today. Like, it showed up today. I got it out of the pallet, which was a whole adventure in itself because it's, you know, not one person liftable. And then I built a little table for it to sit on because I thought it was going to be like cabinet height, but it was, you know, knee height. So it needed a workbench.
Yeah. How tall did you make that, the base for it? How tall did you have to make the base for it?
It's just under 2 feet tall.
2 feet. Okay.
Yeah. The laser was big enough that I couldn't just put it on a workbench, but it was small enough that like, I didn't want to sit on the floor and use it.
Makes sense.
So tell us a little bit about the carabiner that you have on Kickstarter right now.
So it is a titanium carabiner that is all one solid piece. It uses a system called a flexure instead of having like a hinge and a spring. So basically the whole base of the carabiner bends like a spring to open and close it.
It's a really impressive mechanism. Is titanium the only material, or probably one of the very few materials that would actually hold up that way without like building fatigue on that area?
I'm sure you could do it with a spring steel. I have seen there's a different story here, but I licensed this design to Pocket NC, now known as Penta Machine Co. They make the little small desktop 5-axis machines. And they used it as a trade show demo, the same design. But they were making them out of aluminum. And they did work out of aluminum, but they started to kind of slowly fatigue and they get less springy over time. Titanium is, it's just a really good spring. It's a better spring than spring steel. And so it holds up really well to abuse.
That's very cool.
And so not only did you not stop at the design for the product itself, you wanted to expand upon the testing capabilities you have for your product. So if you would explain a little bit about that process and what you end up coming up with, I thought that was actually more interesting than the product itself, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure that these things could last a long time. And at one point, I changed my design where the flexure was a little bit smaller, and I was worried that that would damage the lifetime of it. And so I made a little robot to repeatedly open and close the carabiner, you know, forever autonomously without me and count the number of cycles. And it was just a pneumatic cylinder, basically, with some hardware around it to keep the carabiner in place. And I ended up live streaming that test first on Instagram and then later on YouTube. And we did finally break one. I was kind of hoping we would never break one, but we broke one around 180,000 opening and closing cycles.
How many years worth did you estimate that would be?
73,000 cycles was 20 years if you open it 10 times per day.
Wow.
So triple that, 60 years, something like that. Double that.
That's not bad, I guess.
Yeah.
So is there a story behind the reason for the product and how that kind of started?
Yes, actually. So about half a year ago? I don't know. At some point I did a different Kickstarter for a pry bar. And as one of the add-on items for the pry bar, I had these just little Far East Asian import titanium carabiners. And they were kind of a similar idea where they were just a one piece thing that flexed. And I was buying them off of AliExpress for like $2 each or something and reselling them for $5. Like just as in case somebody wanted to put their pry bar onto their keychain, they could just, you know, buy this thing. And I ordered a bunch of them and they never showed up. And then I ordered some more of them and they never showed up. And like I had to finish fulfilling this Kickstarter, and I was like, well, I guess I'm making these myself now. And that's when I, you know, started to think about how I would do this myself. Their design I couldn't have made with my current equipment. There's just like a wall that's too thin to mill. And so I kind of, you know, played with it until I got a design that I could make. And that's how my current design for the carabiner was born. So there was just a small handful of people that got this same carabiner on that original Pry Bar Kickstarter, because I had enough for most people, but like I was just missing like the last 10 or something.
So how did you get started in doing all this stuff? Because I think part of the interesting story is kind of how you started out and what your current status is, because we've known each other for a couple years through a different platform, and I think that's kind of interesting, leapfrogging from different things to get to, you know, the conversation we're at right now, I think.
Yeah, so this kind of goes back into my Maker backstory, like going way back. And actually, I kind of have two different parallel paths. There's like the path that I got into like Kickstarter and into wanting to run a manufacturing business. And then there's like my Maker path. And both of those have been kind of intertwined, but also a little bit separate. But in terms of Maker path, so, you know, I was born into a house where my dad was an engineer, and, you know, just kind of encouraged to make stuff. I took stuff apart. You guys, you know all the stories. You know, took apart VCRs as a kid and never put them back together. I remember trying to make a monster truck out of, I don't know, random junk in my basement. And, you know, I just kind of had access to my parent or to my dad's tools. And, you know, I don't want to say they didn't tell me to stop, basically. At one point, I ended up with a trebuchet in my backyard. I actually had two different iterations. I got in trouble for throwing bricks into the neighbor's yard. Then, you know, got out of high school, spent some time in the army, and eventually got to Purdue, went to college. And at some point, you know, I started learning about the maker movement. I think my dad probably got the make magazines, which is where I heard the term maker. And I'm pretty sure I just went to my podcast player and typed in the term maker. And I ended up on Making It. And at some point, they mentioned this guy who, I'm pretty sure that this was in the context of this guy who set up a Twitch stream to control a Nerf gun. I may have my timelines here a little bit off. It may have been mentioned for something else. But anyway, so I ended up in one of Wes's Twitch streams. And I think there was like five of us there. And I had just bought my first 3D printer kit, you know, an AliExpress, you know, i3 knockoff. And I said something about that. And he was like, hey, if you're the kind of person that likes to put together 3D printers, you should come join us in this Facebook group. And, you know, that's then I got introduced to. Yeah, it's always Wes, too. And
that's how he hooks you.
Yes.
Pulls you into his web.
Yes.
So I got into that Facebook group. I just, you know, it was at that point in time, there was just a lot of super knowledgeable people in there doing super interesting things. I talked to a lot of them. I met someone who would be hugely influential to me named Tony of Hillview Wood and Metal, who kind of helped me go into the machining route. And it just kind of all snowballed from there. The other side of this, so I talked about this kind of like a separate maker origin story versus the, like, I want to start a business origin story. And the I want to start a business origin story comes from a moment at Purdue. I was talking to my best friend, a guy named Scott, and he was super into Kickstarter. This was when Kickstarter was still fairly new. And we found he found a pen Kickstarter, and this pen made like $150,000 or something like that. And we went, wow, that's a cool pen, but also, wow, that's a lot of money. We could totally do that. And so we tried. And we, like, you know, I drew up something in CAD, I think it was probably Inventor, and we brought it to a machine shop, and they were like, hey, can you make this? And they were very nice to us, and then showed us to the door, never, you know, called us or talked to us again. And so then I started going down the path of, like, how do you make pens? And what we ended up figuring out is that we could 3D print them using a online service called Shapeways. And that was how we launched our first Kickstarter for a pen that we called the Spire Pen. And we sold, like, I don't know, I don't remember what it was, like $1,800 worth, $2,000 worth, something like that. And that kind of was the seed money to slowly start, you know, snowballing and going to bigger and bigger and bigger machines. So after that, I bought a small manual lathe, Then at one point I sold that and bought a small CNC lathe. And then I sold that and then bought a small mill. And I sold that and I bought a small five-axis mill, the Pocket NC, which using that I was able to start making branding irons, which is really kind of what gave me the capital to start growing Design the Everything. And now I have a, you know, like a reasonably sized mill, the largest sized Tormach.
It's awesome. So it's kind of like the paper clip kind of idea. Keep trading it up. Nice. I like that.
Just bootstrapping.
I love hearing stories like that of kind of, actually I like hearing everybody's kind of origin story of how they started into everything. I'm always fascinated by that. The carabiners, are you making those in-house or are you outsourcing those?
I start with a laser cut blank and then put them in my mill and machine in like the slots. So I'm not finishing the outside at all. I'm just putting in the slots.
Does it take special tooling to be able to mill titanium?
Yes and no. You wouldn't just want to use like the same, you know, cheap router bits that you would get on Amazon or whatever. But it's nothing too exotic. Like you just kind of have to know what to buy. But there's, you know, you could get them on Amazon if you really wanted to. I use a company called Lakeshore Carbide because they're cheap and easy and friendly. But
wait, so when you say you laser cut the blanks for them, you laser cut titanium?
Not me. Somebody with a, you know, big 4,000 watt fiber laser.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was like,
not me, not
holy
me.
Holy cow. What kind of laser do you have that you're laser cutting titanium?
And that's kind of why I was asking too, because I'm looking at the design of it and I would assume, I know nothing about machining, so I'm making some assumptions here that it's getting milled out of a single piece of titanium somehow. It doesn't look like there's any kind of, you know, putting together of anything. So that's why I was asking.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, it's one solid piece. They're laser cut by Sencut Sen, which I've kind of had kind of a relationship with for a while. And then I just stick them in the machine and finish them up.
They're pretty well known in the community now, too. That's very cool. So we're taking a look at your Kickstarter here. How much longer do you have on it?
I don't have it in front of me, but it's about 2 weeks.
14 days to go. I just saw it right here.
Okay, exactly 2 weeks. Yeah, I had no idea what to expect when I launched this. Like I've started transitioning out of my my old day job to go, you know, full time Design the Everything. I'm just working there, you know, 1 or 2 days a week now, and it was very reassuring for the first thing out of, you know, leaving that nice little sense of security to have a product that's doing it. It'll probably finish, you know, $24,000 somewhere in there. It's like, oh, okay, this can actually be a viable business. That's good.
That's awesome. And I know that you've been going along with the same Kickstarter trend or Kickstarter pattern that we're starting here as far as having different people talk about the Kickstarter projects. You also know the previous person that we had on here, Thomas, that had a awesome Kickstarter. If you want to talk about that relationship a little bit, I think there's something really cool there.
Yeah. Tom and I don't know how we started talking to each other. He's just one of those people where, like, you know, we're both on Instagram and like, I think we just probably slowly started, you know, bumping into each other's stories more and just kind of slowly started talking and then became, you know, pretty good Instagram friends. And he showed the original Frog Pod, which was purple, which was a travesty, on his stories at some point. And I saw that and like basically bullied him into starting his Kickstarter because I knew that it was the kind of product that would work well in that market.
See, that's a good friend, bullying somebody into making money.
To be fair, I could have bullied him into a big failure and wasted time too. There's no really telling until you launch it, but
no, we'll keep the positive, you know, side of the story.
Yeah, hopefully you get like a burger or something out of it. At least
I have a frog pod. I got a prototype.
There you go.
And I legitimately use that frog pod every single day, or at least for every single video that I record. It's my only like camera holding method.
I have a lack of metal surfaces in my shop. It's all wood and insulation, so and cinder blocks. So I need to install metal in order to use it here. But I definitely picked one up, and also I'm somewhat determined. And he might listen to this, and I might be sharing too many of my cards. But he bought the Frogpot Army website, URL, and that's his hashtag. I'm bound and determined to create a frog pod navy just because I was in the Navy, and I think that would be hilarious. I'm trying to think of how I can use it in an aquatic scenario that would make sense, since I also don't own a boat or anything, or have an aircraft carrier to attach it to. I'm sure that would be actually really useful. There are so many metal surfaces in an aircraft carrier that I think there is a possible marketing opportunity there or a untapped resource. But yeah, I think that would be a fun idea. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that. But
you could like 3D print a lily pad with a little metal washer on the top of it. Just stick a GoPro in there and like send it out in the lake.
That's right.
Well, so someone I know has a welder that they should be using to start welding some things and put into their shop. And then, of course, you have a service for the frog pod.
I don't know what you're talking
about. I know.
Yep. That's true. That is a way I would acquire metal surfaces in here. So that's yet another reason to fire that sucker up. Yeah.
It's going to take something, man.
I was looking up stuff about it today, honestly. I looked at it, and it looked at me, and we just had that exchange that we've had for the last 5 years. One of these days.
So I always like asking, whenever somebody develops a product and something they're working on, I always kind of like to ask them, even though I might be jumping the gun a little bit, any ideas for what you might want to pursue next?
Yeah, I know. I have quite a few products that are kind of in the queue. For my next Kickstarter, I think I'm going to do, shockers, another carabiner. Except this one I want to be the size of a keyring. So about, an inch circle or so.
So like an anti-keyring carabiner?
Sure. Or an extra keyring
carabiner. Because I hate keyrings.
I was just going to say, my wife and I, with the vendor event that we're doing a ton of keychains, and I hate having to put the keyring on those different things. So if it's like a quick attach with the carabiner type style that you have, I'll buy 20 of them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I do have titanium split rings, too. If you scroll way down to the bottom of my campaign, you can see a picture of them. And those are actually fantastic. So I'm trying not to keep saying the word Patreon on here and plug myself. But I have a Patreon.
Plug away. Plug it all the way in.
Okay,
oh,
Patreon.
I see it. It's cool.
Design the everything or something. I don't know what my link is. Anyway, my top tier gets a prototype of whatever I'm working on that month every month. And, I've been doing like the pry bars and they got these carabiners. The thing that everybody has been the most excited about is these little split rings that I just kind of made as an afterthought, because I wanted to be able to have all American made stuff on my Kickstarter. And so like I just did a laser cut split ring that's, again, made by Send Cut Send. All I do is get them from Send Cut Send and tumble them. But like my Patreons, my testers have loved these more than anything, because they're basically like the same. How do I describe this? They're not a circle. They're what I would call an ob round or an oval. And so they're like a lot lower profile, and they don't like let your keys get tangled as much, and they're lighter weight. They're also much easier to get on and off.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. I think it's awesome. That's great.
I can send you some. I have 100.
Done.
This is where you say, I'll send you some when you become a patron.
That's right.
To sell it.
I honestly can't believe that I have patrons. Like, somebody told me to start it, and I did, not expecting to get anything from it. And, like, just the support from the community was kind of, I don't know, it was amazing. Like, I did not expect it at all.
The community overall, I think, is pretty amazing. And God, how many years has it been now, guys? 6-7 years that we've probably collectively been in somehow? Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Somehow.
for lack of better verbiage here.
Time has no meaning anymore, so yeah, it's hard to keep track.
Well, yeah, after 275 or 76 episodes, things are, yeah.
Kind of hard to 300.
I know.
Yeah, that's, design is something that I wish I was better at.
Same.
Says the guy with, like, how many successful Kickstarter projects under your belt right now? Four?
Including the one that's running, four.
Okay, yeah.
Five Kickstarters total, four successful.
Okay.
It's a pretty good record.
Yeah.
I know the Kickstarter game is not easy by any means, especially from everybody I've talked to.
Yeah. I'm learning. I feel like this is the first Kickstarter that I've really taken. I don't want to say I didn't take the other ones seriously, but I wasn't committed to them. It was, you know, this thing that I did, and, you know, maybe, hopefully, it'll get a bunch of sales and take off. But with this one, it's like, okay, this is going to be the foundation of my income for the next forever, hopefully.
And, well, yeah, that's how you start the video. You're like, I quit my job to do this yeah. Kickstarter video, so thank you for watching. By the way, here's the thing. So you lay it out, like, in the first 2 seconds of that video. I quit my job. So
that's a great Kickstarter for yourself in terms of like inspiration and motivation when you know you have that is your everything's dependent upon that one idea. So now that you'll have four things checked off out of everything, you have a lot of other things to create since you are designing the everything.
Yeah, how did you come up with designing the everything?
So that actually came from a meme. This goes back to when I was working with my buddy Scott, who left Design the Everything to do his own thing, by the way. He's not with me anymore. But there was a meme, and it was the guy with like a torch or a pitchfork or something. And it's like, do all the things was the meme. And at some point we made the meme design the everything. That's where the name came from. It was a meme.
It works. If people want to look a little bit more into the things that you're doing, where should they be following up for your work right now?
So Instagram is where my social media is the biggest. It's at Design the Everything. YouTube is where you will find the most detail. I have really stopped investing a lot of my time in Instagram and moved it all of my attention to YouTube. There's kind of been like a 2 week gap in videos as I was at a trade show. But up until the Kickstarter run, I was doing daily vlogs. So there's like a 36 day streak or something like that of daily vlogs. And I'm not going to be doing those anymore just because it's really hard. But I'll still be, I'm still planning on doing two or three videos a week.
That's a lot of content.
It is. And the daily vlogs were too much content, both for me and I think for the viewer. So.
It was too much for everybody.
Yeah, it was a good morning experience, though.
Have you played around with shorts? Have you done shorts yet?
I have not. Mostly because the amount of editing per second of video is like sky high, and it—I don't know—it just doesn't sound as fun to me. I
get it.
I don't know. I don't not enjoy editing video. But it's not what I want to focus on. I see my YouTube channel as a platform to add value to my main products and hopefully help other people as if they want to do the same thing that I do. It's not really my end goal.
So basically a tool to help you get the word out?
Yeah. And it like adds some value to the things that you're making.
Very cool.
Well, if you ever do. Let me know. I would like to see how doing shorts works for somebody else.
Yeah, I don't do them on Instagram either, and I know that I'm missing out.
No, because the algorithm loves reels. It's all about that algorithm.
It does.
Sweet, sweet algorithm. Makes your brain go crazy.
So I think we're about that time in the episode. What are you guys geeking out about?
I've got two things. The first is our buddies over at Wing Geeks Craft. They released a video 6 days ago of an insane project that took them a long time and many hours and many drops of blood from injuries on so many different materials and tools in creating a giant stained glass panel of some characters from Horizon Zero Dawn. And it's incredible on the video, and it's even more impressive in person. I can definitely say that. And I was privileged to be able to help them out a little bit and just learn some of the process a little bit and not damage or set them back too far in me helping. I think I did an okay job. And I tell you, using some of those tools to snap pieces of glass like along a line is so stressful in like a physical sense and like an emotional sense. And it's the sound is so off-putting and of it shattering, because usually that sound is just not a good one when you hear it in life. And so when you hear that little shatter and that little sound of the propagation of the crack down, hopefully in the right direction, down the piece, it's crazy. So definitely check them out at Wing Geeks Craft, and give them some love. And also I watched the first 3 episodes of Andor, which is awesome. It's unlike any Star Wars show, for sure. It feels like it's in a different universe, which is a good thing. It's a great palate cleanser, and I hope they really take this as a sense of or a sign of inspiration and like a jumping off point to do more stuff in this vein, because it lends itself really well to it. And if you loved Rogue One, obviously it's along the same lines as that. And it's great. It's a slow burn for now, but I think it's going to start picking up, and I've been enjoying it. And the new droids are awesome so far.
Mm-hmm. Got to have a new droid.
You do.
Yep. They've done the Mandalorian thing where every episode is directed by a different director.
Hmm.
That's been interesting.
I'll eventually get around to it.
I've only made it to the first episode so far, and I'm dying to watch the rest of it, but so I haven't seen if it feels any different from having multiple directors, but like so far I love it.
The cinematography is absolutely amazing.
And the music.
It is.
Yeah, and the music, like it is. If you liked Rogue One, you will love this. If you did not like Rogue One, I don't think you would like this. It's like Wes said, it is very, it's a very, very slow burn. Oh my gosh, should have been a movie, but yeah.
Does it still?
It is fantastic.
Does it still feel like Star Wars?
Mm-mm.
I disagree. I think it felt more like,
if it didn't have the Star Wars moniker, like
it would be Blade Runner.
No, yeah,
it's a Blade Runner spinoff.
You probably wouldn't know it was Star Wars if it didn't say Star Wars.
It felt like the Star Wars before the injection of all the kiddie stuff. Like, if you take all the like hokey droids from back in the day, like in the first trilogy, like there were elements of seriousness in there that I think, you know, with Grand Moff Tarkin and other things, there had more gravitas to characters, and they felt like stakes before, and they kind of lost that along the way.
So is it what
it feels like?
Go
sorry,
ahead.
Sean.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
It feels like the old books, which I think they call the legends now. Like, is that the non-canon books? That's what it feels like more to me.
Is it what Solo was supposed to be?
Mm.
Is that the tone that Solo should have been? Would have fixed the movie?
Yeah, Solo would have been cool in this if they had done it like this.
Time for some retconning.
So it's... Oh, no, go ahead. I was just going to say, I'm surprised how much I'm enjoying it. And considering it's me...
Wait, you're actually enjoying something?
That says something, yeah. Well, coming off of, like, She-Hulk, I needed Andor.
I think we all need Andor.
Yeah. So there is a game that I grew up with as a kid that shaped... parts of my childhood. It's called Monkey Island, and every iteration of Monkey Island that has come out ever since that original point and click adventure from LucasArts that was just like golden memories of my childhood playing these point and click adventure games like Maniac Mansion and Loom and Indiana Jones and Monkey Island. They were just fantastic. And Monkey Island continued on like 2, 3, 4, all that other kind of stuff. And then there was Tales from Monkey Island that was like cel-shaded point and click adventure that was done by Telltale. And those were amazing. I love Monkey Island. And they just released The Return to Monkey Island, which was the original creators and directors of the first two games, making a sequel to Monkey Island 2. So picking up after that, the cliffhanger at the end of that game. And it is, oh, it's so good. The humor is so funny. It is wit. It's pristine. It's like chef's kiss. How good this was written and acted, and the jokes just land so well. And I'm like, it's golden. Get it. Play. If you haven't played any of the Monkey Island games, first of all, just fix that, because they are some of the best games in the world. And then after that, go pick up Return to Monkey Island, because it is phenomenal. It's fantastic.
AJ, what are you geeking out about?
Andor for sure. And I've just been really enjoying all of the various TV coming out lately with Lord of the Rings, and I've been enjoying She-Hulk. Sorry, guys.
And I kind of enjoy some of it too. No, it's fine.
Like, I don't know. I've just been enjoying having regular weekly TV again. It feels,
yeah,
it's something that I feel like I've been missing for a long time. And like, I have, fond memories of, back in middle school or whatever, waiting for the new episode of Stargate to come out or whatever, or Voyager, and watching that with my dad. So it's been nice having kind of weekly scheduled TV again.
Yeah, we're in an age now that we have new Star Trek and new Star Wars on a weekly basis, essentially, and comic book spinoff stuff. It's just, I don't know. We're too spoiled nowadays, I think. I mean, we used to have like Walker Texas Ranger, and that was the best you could get back in the day. All right, so we've come a long way.
Yeah, the 90s were awkward sometimes.
Speaking of awkward.
Just go. Just roll with it. Go. Go with it.
Well, I haven't done my geeking out yet, though.
No, whatever.
Oh, okay. Shot.
Yeah, just forget about me again.
I didn't forget about you. No, you were the awkward one that I was leading into.
Well, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
Got flashbacks of middle school now. All right. I think I might have mentioned this one before, but I'm geeking out about it again just because it showed up in my feed and I started watching them. There's a YouTube channel called No Clip Video, I think. It's called No Clip Video, and they do video game documentaries. And they kind of tell the origin stories of a lot of really well-known games in history, anything from Civilization to Witness to you name it. If it had a really big impact, they probably have a documentary regarding it and talking to the creators. And I think I enjoy origin stories of businesses and of properties more than the actual property sometimes. And it kind of reminds me of us as makers and how we start and the things that kind of motivate us and get us to where we are and where we're going. And I think they're done really well. With that, it also kind of reminds me of a series that was on a long time ago. So if you're older than 30 or 35, you might even have remembered this. There was at the time, I think it was a website called Machinima. They used to do like video game produced content, and they used to have a documentary series called All Your Base Are Belong to Us. And they had some of the best documentaries during that time, covering the start of Blizzard and other video game companies. And I think No Clip is kind of in that same vein. So if you enjoy that industry or that kind of content, go check that out. Yep.
Some great recommendations. I definitely can have my moments where I'm really into those sorts of productions. And for some reason, my wife and I are watching, or I'm watching Chernobyl for the second time. My wife had never seen it, and I went and watched it. And I don't know why I'm bringing that up, but if you haven't watched it, it's really good, and it's super depressing. So that's, speaking of super depressing.
Movie?
No, so it's on HBO Max. It's a TV series. It's around, I think, 6 episodes, and it's a documentary / like drama spin. It's like a dramatic, what's the word? It's a dramatic recreation of a real life events. There's a couple things that they tweaked for, you know, storyline purposes, but it's generally considered pretty accurate, and it's pretty crazy the amount of hubris and balls on some of the people and Russia, basically, for some of the stuff that they pulled. It's crazy. So I highly recommend it. And strangely enough, several, at least three of the actors that were in that show are in Andor, which is hilarious. And I was like, oh, there's that. That's the guy. Oh, yeah. Oh. And I'm kind of catching myself. And it's just kind of a funny coincidence that so many are popping up in there now. I don't have a good segue into getting into the Patreon.
Up in there now,
yeah, I don't have a great segue.
You left one, and then you kept talking, and you kind of ran over the bridge that we could have used.
Well, you know, that's what I'm good for here. speaking of things that we're good for, no, see, I just don't have it today. Our patrons are at patreon.com/makinggeeks. We like to thank them each and every episode for helping us keep the lights on here at the show with their financial contributions from week to week. We appreciate each and every one of them, including our top patrons, Clinton, Square Splinter, Nolan, and Jordan. Thank you all so much.
And we all have social medias that you can come and follow us on, see what we're up to. AJ, how do you want people to find you?
You can find me on Instagram or YouTube at Design the Everything. Also, I have a Kickstarter. Just search for Not for Climbing and I'll show up.
Yep. And for the rest of us, Sean, to see all the stuff that he's got going on, you can find him at Geek Builders. To see all the things that Wes is up to, you can find him at Geeksmithing. And to see all the crazy stuff I'm going to be up to in the next week and a half, you can find me at Once Upon a Workbench.
And if you want to be part of our live show, we record every Thursday evening on YouTube, and we start recording at 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central, and 6:30 Pacific. It always is a good time there in the chat, and you know, we always have side conversations going on while we're recording, and it's always a good time. You can also find out more information about the podcast from our website, makinggeeks.com. We have all the videos and not videos, what am I saying? We have all the past episodes listed on the homepage you can listen to in your favorite podcast or not podcast player. I don't know what's going on there. Kind of mixing my words. You can listen to all of our past episodes right there in your favorite browser of choice. We also have a shop with some Making Geeks themed merchandise for you to check out and possibly bring into your home. You can find new episodes of the podcast every Thursday on your every Saturday morning. I'm like I'm 0 for 3 right now. I am 0 for 3. That's what happens when I change my script and try to like freestyle a little bit. It just does not work out well. But you can find new episodes of the podcast every Saturday on your favorite podcast player of choice. So I'm going to stop talking before I mess anything else up. So from all of us to all of you, have a great week. And make sure you check out the Kickstarter because it is awesome. And we love supporting our fellow makers. And it is a very cool product as well. So thank you, AJ, for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. See ya.
Now I remember why I never catch these live.